book of Acts this morning. By the way, somewhere along the way, and I may have to look that up, someone named it the Acts of the Apostles. And you say, well, that's what it says in the Bible. Well, don't take this wrong, but there's a lot of things in the Bible that's not in the Bible. Do you understand what I'm saying? When the Bible was written, for instance, the epistles, they were letters. They were not written in verses or chapters. And the headings and the name, for instance, at the book of the Revelation, we call it, if we look at an Episcopal book or a Catholic book, you know what it'll say? It'll say the revelation of John the Divine. He's neither divine, and it's not his revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's who's being revealed in the last book of the Bible, is Jesus Christ. So when you look at the scripture, there are things added like chapters and verses and things like that that we don't necessarily, it's not part of the inspired text. So when Luke, the physician, wrote this, he wrote it and he talked about the things that the apostles had done, but it's not so much the acts of the apostles as it is the acts of the Holy Ghost through the apostles. It's God's Spirit acting in the world. And we're reading in the book of Acts where the apostle Paul and his entourage that was with him are out spreading the gospel in the world. And you say, how come them to do that? Well, first of all, Jesus commanded them to go to all the world. And second of all, the Holy Ghost, specifically at the church in Antioch, and by the way, for you Bible students, there are two Antiochs, one in Asia Minor and one over in the Middle East. And the Asia Minor in the Middle East is the one that starts it, and then later they go to Antioch in Asia Minor. And as they're traveling, they're preaching the gospel. These are a couple little things that happened on the way. Let's read about it and then we'll come back and talk about it. They were aware of it, and aware of what? They were going to kill them. They found out that the people in those towns were going to take them out and stone them to death and kill them, and ultimately did stone the Apostle Paul. They were aware of it and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. Let's say that again. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, and impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. And the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped up and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, these are gods that came down to us in the likeness of men. And then we skip over to Acts chapter 17. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. And the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren into the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. I have to tell you something, folks. When heaven comes down and fills your sinful soul and your heart and fills your body and your spirit with His presence, your world is turned upside down. Now, there's no such thing as a Christian who's not been changed. If you're a Christian, that's what happens when you become a Christian. The Holy Spirit of God comes down from heaven, lives in your life, and changes you. Changes you not out here, but in here. Changes you from the inside out. Now, it'll change your outside too. It'll change the way your home goes. It'll change the way you act on your job. It'll change the way you treat your wife or your husband. It'll change the way you treat your children. It'll change your vocabulary. It'll change what you have to say. It'll change what you listen to and what you entertain yourself with. Yes, when the Holy Spirit comes, my friend, it'll turn the world that you're in upside down. You have to think about these people. Over in Asia Minor, which is now the country of Turkey, over in that country, these people are going on with their lives. They're just muddling along. They worship Mercury. They, right here in the scripture, talks about that. They worship Juno. They worshiped Zeus. They worshiped all of the pantheon of gods that the Romans and the Greeks had, and they were going on with their life. They got married. They had babies. They raised their children. They did their work. They raised their crops, and life just was going on. And here we are. We're going on. And what do they believe? Well, they believe whatever they were told to believe. What their elders and people before them had said, that's what they believed. We're pretty much all that way, aren't we? You know, if you happen to come from a Chevrolet driving family, well, that's probably what you're going to drive is a Chevrolet for a while till you get educated to a Ford or something else. You know how that goes. And you realize when you grow up and you go out and get married and go to other places, you realize, well, everybody don't live in their home exactly like we lived in ours. Everybody's not. That's the way we are. Well, folks, these people are going on with their lives. I mean, they're satisfied with it. They're happy with it. They're lost. You say they're lost? Yeah, they're lost. Without Christ, man, you're going to hell. You say, well, you shouldn't say something that plain. Why shouldn't I? Why shouldn't I tell you the truth? Why shouldn't I tell you that without Christ, you cannot go to heaven? You must be born again. You must be changed. You must have a birth from heaven. You must have the Holy Ghost come in your life and the Spirit of God change you. These people don't know they need a change. They don't know there is a Holy Ghost. For goodness sakes, one whole church at Philippi had been baptized in water and never heard that there was a Holy Ghost. They didn't know anything about it. Well, these people don't know anything about it. They're just going on with their life. They're living their life. Hey, you say, well, that was a heathen country. Well, this must be one too that we're living in America, because I see people everywhere living just exactly like the world's living. And sadly, I have to say I saw one church structure in the county this weekend already that's flying a rainbow flag. Sad, my friend. People are going on in the world just like there was no God, like there was no eternity, like there was no hereafter, like there was no judgment. You know why? They haven't been taught that there is. People are going to church. They don't hear about hellfire and judgment. And you say, well, I don't think you ought to preach about hell all the time. Well, I'll tell you a little secret. If you want to read this book, and you should, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of hell more times than He did heaven. And you say, why did he do that? He did that because he don't want you to go there. He wants you to dodge that old place. And I don't care about going there or being acquainted with it in any way. But hell must be a very popular place. Because every entertainer that I've seen lately and politicians from the president down likes to use the word hell just every few minutes in what they got to say. I declare people need a cake of lava soap to clean your mouth out and get that old F word out of it too. I must be feeling better this morning, huh? Amen. Oh, and Satan don't like that, does he? No, he don't like that. Well, let me tell you, my friend, people going on with their lives like nothing's happened. And these people were. They were worshiping false gods. They were immoral and ungodly and living ungodly lives. But they don't know it is. They've never been touched. They haven't had any change. They haven't had anybody to tell them. They hadn't had a preacher. And one day, think about it. One day, a man named Paul shows up with a little group of people with him. He's carrying a doctor with him named Luke. And he's carrying a Christian worker named Silas part of the time and Barnabas part of the time. And sometimes he's carrying a young fellow named Timothy with him. And they're going across the country preaching the gospel. And they came, the word gospel, by the way, means good news. And they came to these people that are lost and undone without God, dying and going to hell without any hope of salvation. My friend, and the Lord Jesus sends the blessed people preaching the gospel. I'm so thankful for every person that came to me before I was saved and talked to my heart and told me about the Lord. I'm thankful for every sermon I heard and everybody I saw heard get up and testify, even if they did scare the bejabbers out of me sometimes. And you say, scare you? Yes, they did. I was 14 years old, and I was going to hell without God. If I'd have died, they'd have called Sister Gilmer. She'd have preached a good funeral. She liked to preach funerals and did good at it. But I can tell you what she would have done. She'd have got up and said, this was a good little boy. And that would have been the truth. I was a good little boy. But I was lost without God, my friend. Yes, she could have got up and said, he never drank a drop of liquor. That would have been the truth. He never smoked a cigarette, never dipped any snuff, never chewed any red man or anything like that. He could have said all them things. He could have said, I never talked dirty or cussed. That would have been the truth. They could have said, I never committed adultery or fornication. That would have been the truth. All of that, you could have said all that. But my friend, she couldn't have said I was saved because I had not been redeemed. I had not repented of my sins. I had not followed the Lord, and I had not been born again. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, you must have this change. And these people are just living this awful life, going down to eternity without God. And all at once, this preacher shows up. Their world turned upside down. Number one, the devils in hell and on earth begin to tremble. When a Holy Ghost man and Holy Ghost preacher starts moving, and the Spirit of God starts moving and people start walking the streets, my friend, I'd like to take some of these televangelists and put them out in the street just barefooted by themselves like the Apostle Paul and them were and see what their message to the church would be. Let me tell you something. Taking up an offering does not save anybody's soul. And let me tell you something, my friend. Getting up in church and haranguing the congregation over and over about some little one point of doctrine does not save anybody's soul. So when the Apostle Paul comes, he comes preaching, and it said, so in the scripture you heard read, he came preaching the gospel. He came with good news. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to die and be lost without God. You don't have to worship these images that you make with your own hands. You don't have to do any of that. The good news is that God Almighty has come down in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, has lived in this world, died on a cross, resurrected on the third day, ascended into glory, and he's coming back again. That's the gospel. Hallelujah. And you know what else? He's going to have a judgment day one day. Every whole soul in this world that there ever was living and ever will live will stand in the presence of the Almighty God. And the Bible said, give an account of the deeds done in this body. My brothers and sisters, that upsets the apple cart. Satan gets antsy. The demons from hell begin to run. And the people begin to fight. And they begin to press against those who accept the truth, like they did here. And they ultimately, in the next verse, you read there that they went to Lystra and Derbe. When they went to Lystra, my friend, they took the Apostle Paul out and threw him off a cliff, throwed rocks at him till they killed him. And left him laying there, and the saints were all standing around him ready to go to the cemetery because they thought, well, he's dead. There's nothing we can do for him. We'll have to bury him. And he talked about it 14 years later. If you read the scripture, he said 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell, but it was carried to the third heaven. Wow. Hallelujah. No wonder he wasn't afraid to die after that. He'd already got a glimpse of glory, hadn't he? And it upset their apple cart. Everything in their life was upset. Their whole world was turned over, my friend. Everything began to change. And it's the way when the gospel comes in, we've seen that. We've gone into communities doing tent work and evangelistic work, and we'd be going out performing weddings to get everything straightened up in people's lives. People go back and make their crooked paths straight and straighten up the way they've been living and change the way they've been living. My friend, these people heard the gospel for the first time. Now, I'm blessed. This is a smart. Do you realize how smart this congregation is? This is a brilliant congregation. Compared to the rest of the world, this is a brilliant group of people this morning. You say, how come? Because every one of you here knows the name of Jesus Christ. Every one of you here knows about the cross. Every one of you here knows about the resurrection and the coming of the Lord in Judgment Day. My friend, there are billions of people lived and died and went into eternity without ever hearing the name of Jesus, without ever feeling the touch of the Master's hand, without ever seeing Christians who were filled with the Holy Ghost. Never saw it, never had an opportunity to be around it. Brothers and sisters, I have to tell you this morning, you're smart. You are brilliant because you are a congregation of Bible-savvy people. And listen, we're blessed in America. I mean, I know we got our warts and wrinkles and problems and all of that, but let me tell you, my friend, by and large, it's a Bible-knowledgeable country. I mean, our Bibles are practically free. You can buy them off of the shelf at Walmart or Target or any place else almost that sells anything at all. And the gospel is available to us. It's on the airways. It's every place. Well, what a wonderful thing when the gospel comes. Everybody going along in their own way and all at once, here are these Holy Ghost people. And you know what they're doing? They're healing the sick. This old man been sitting in all his life, never walked. You hear that on there a while ago? He was out in the street. He was shaking a little can for a coin or little something that somebody would give him. But he don't have any, he's never walked in his life. And the Apostle Paul looks at him and sees by the discernment of the Spirit of God that this man has faith enough to be healed. And he talks to him and tells him to get up and walk. And that man who had never walked stood up on his feet and walked through the crowd. And people said, the gods must have come down to visit us. They were going to worship him. Here come the priest of Jupiter. And he had some couple of oxen and some stuff. He's ready to have a killing and a burning and sacrifice to him right then, right there on the spot. The whole town came out for him. And brothers and sisters, they had to learn that the gospel has nothing to do with that, but everything to do with the Spirit of God coming down and blessing. Think about how that woman at the well in Samaria, how the Lord turned her life upside down. How she came out. She was just going along with her everyday duties. She was living a sinful life. She was living with a man she wasn't married to. So I said, oh, that's a sin? Yeah, that's a sin. Just mark it down. That's a sin. You live with a man you're not married to, that's a sin. You say, God, Eddie, you shouldn't say things like that. If I don't say that, I'll have to answer for it in the day of judgment. And I don't intend for your blood to be on my hands. I don't intend for that to happen. I intend to tell you the truth and to make the truth free. And I can't sugarcoat it or whatever. But anyway, this woman had five husbands, which he doesn't necessarily condemn her for. But she has a man now she's living with. She's not married to, and he does condemn that, and he talks to her about what she's done. He must have said a whole lot more than is recorded in the Bible, because when she told the people in Samaria about it, she said, come see a man that told me everything I ever did. Yeah. Whoa, that must have been a long dinner that he had there waiting on them to bring dinner back with him, I have to tell you. But you think about it, this woman's just going along. She's doing whatever she feels like doing. She's marrying whoever she feels like marrying, living with whoever she feels like living with, doing whatever she feels like doing. And brothers and sisters, life's going on. But one day she went to get the water, and she needed a drink. And there was a man sitting there, and she knew he was Jew, so she didn't fool with him. She didn't talk to him, but he talked to her because he came there specially just to see her. He came there to turn her apple cart over. He came there to change her whole world. He came there to change her perspective. And so he engages her in a conversation. He talks to her and begins to tell her and ultimately touches her heart, my friend, and she changes her life and becomes a witness for God. In fact, I don't know many evangelists that have been as successful as she was, because she went back to Samaria, told the elders and people of the city what she had seen and what Christ had done, and the whole town came out. And he stayed some time with them, and they had what they used to call, Dr. Rawlings, them would go out preaching, they have citywide revivals. That's a good thing. I like to hear that. And she had a citywide revival. Those people came out and came to her. And when Jesus saw them coming up the hill, they're all Arabs and wearing white robes. And he said, look, the harvest is ripe. It's white unto harvest. The labors are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send labors into the field. Brothers and sisters, her world was turned upside down. It was never the same. And when her world turned upside down, her neighbor's world turned upside down. The women in Samaria, I know, were a whole lot more confident after she got saved than they were before she got saved, because you have to wonder, she goes down the street, who's next? Because this woman's a bad woman. But her life has been changed. It's been turned upside down by the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I think about blind Bartimaeus sitting beside the road in Jericho, day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year. Could not see in the darkness, if it is darkness. I've never been blind, I don't know, but he cannot see. He is just sitting there hoping for a few coins to buy enough to keep him from starving to death. He can't do anything for himself. He's just stuck there. And one day he hears that something's going on. There's a big crowd going by. They're on their way to Passover. But it's different this year. He's heard Passover for years. He's heard them going, he's heard them coming. But there's something different about this, and he wants to know, what's going on down there? What's going on? They said, it's Jesus of Nazareth, the preacher. He's going by. He said, oh, that's the one I want to see. He can heal my blindness. And he begins to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he cries it more than once. And they said, shh, don't you know he's teaching? Don't you be hollering like that in church. Don't you be carrying on like that in church. Well, you might get in somebody's way. Somebody might misunderstand you. Don't be hollering like that in church. Be quiet. The more they told him to be quiet, the louder he got. God bless him. And louder he got. And he got loud enough, and Jesus said, now it's not that Jesus don't know the answer to this question, by the way. It's that Jesus wants him to confess. What do you want? Lord, that I might see. He heals his eyes. I mean, they cut loose. Everybody in the streets gone to shout. Everybody's yelling and hollering. Plumb to up on the west end of town where I want to say Zebedee, but that ain't right. Anyway, little short guy climbed up in a sycamore tree. Zacchaeus, thank you. Sorry I had put up an old preacher like this. Zacchaeus heard about the commotion up there enough that drew him out of his mansion on the hill, and he climbed out on a limb and looked down at him and wound up being a saved man at the end of the day. And you see how he knows he's saved? Because Jesus said, salvation has come to this house. Glory to God. That's what every home in America needs, is salvation to come to that house, for the gospel to come to that house, my friends. Poor old blind Bartimaeus and what he did. Let me tell you something, my friend. Think through the scriptures. What a turnover it was when the lepers were touched by Jesus. Think what it was, my friend, when those who could not talk and those who could not walk were touched by Jesus. Think about what it was like for those who were tormented. Did you ever read that scriptures about people being, you know, we want to look at it and say, oh, they're possessed with them old devils. Hey, you pity the man that's possessed with a demon. You pity a man that's possessed, or a woman that's possessed with a demon. You say, how come? Because the Bible said they were tormented with them spirits. And I see people living today who are tormented. Their lives are tormented by what's going on in their lives. They're tormented. They need God. My friend, you read through that. And when Jesus visited those people, my friend, their lives changed forevermore. And think about the guilty people. The people guilty of sin. Think about the woman taken in adultery. She was sure, my friend. She was absolutely sure. These guys, I mean, they've been watching for her and waiting for her. She knows they're going to stone her to death. They're going to say the law says that if you commit adultery, you'll be stoned to death. She thinks that's what they're going to do. But they bring her to Jesus to argue. Oh, by the way, if you think you're going to get anywhere arguing religion, you're probably not. Show somebody a godly life. Tell somebody the gospel, but don't argue religion, and it won't do any good. All it'll do is create a ruckus, and you can't win the argument, my friend, because even if you outdo them, and some fast-tongued person like that Kendall boy or something might talk fast and run over somebody with a bunch of facts or something, but my friend, it won't convince anybody's heart. The only thing that will convince their heart is the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. That's all that will touch their heart. My friend, think about that woman brought there guilty. And yet when she came in touch with Jesus, He turned everybody's apple cart over that day. The scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, their cart was turned over and that woman's was turned over. And in the end, He said, I do not condemn you either. Just don't go and sin anymore. That's all. Just don't go and sin anymore. Sin no more. My friend, I'm going to ask you something today. Would you let Him turn your world upside down? Would you let Him turn you upside down, my friend? It will. Let me tell you something. It's up this way, but your world will be that way. It'll pour out and it'll get there. Yeah, I know it's just water. Just water. I just want you to know that when the world turns upside down, and I thank God that I was only 14 years old when my world turned upside down, and the Lord Jesus came in and changed my heart forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let him turn the world of your home upside down. Let Him turn your heart upside down. Let Him turn your conscience upside down. Let Him turn your thoughts upside down and let Jesus come into your heart and change you forever and forever. And you say, Jesus would do that? Yes, He will. And you say, how come? Because He loves you. He died for you because He loves you. And my friend, you say, why did He send Paul and Barnabas out into those wild places? Friends, like I say, they killed Paul. They stoned him till they thought he was dead. Why does God send people to places? He said, I send you as sheep among wolves. Why? Because He loves the world. Listen to it. You know can say this. You say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Will you bow your heads and hearts with me? And will you let God speak to your heart today? Father, we thank You that we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank You for the redemption that's come to us, for the hope that's come to us. Oh, Jesus, we thank You for dying on the cross. We thank You that we have the promise of Your coming. We thank You for the resurrection of the dead. And Father, I pray this day that You'll turn the world upside down in sinners' lives. Turn the homes upside down. Turn this nation upside down, Father, and let the gospel be preached from shore to shore and sea to sea. Oh, Jesus, we need You today. We need Your presence and mercies, and I pray the Spirit of the living God, Lord, will touch and will bless. Lord, And in this revival that we're having this week, we pray the Spirit of God will be with us. And God, that you'll bless every heart and touch every soul and lift up every person. Heavenly Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name and give you praise and glory. Amen.